I'm Carol Hills, and this is The World. The battle lines over immigration are showing no signs of letting up. The latest group to cry foul over the Trump administration's policies are immigration judges. Their association has filed a grievance over attempts to pressure them to speed up deportations. It follows the Justice Department's removal of an immigration judge in Philadelphia who was told he was acting too slowly on a deportation case. This comes, of course, against a high-charged backdrop of immigrant families being separated at the U.S. border. Court orders have reunited some of the families, but that hasn't stopped many Americans from viewing the family separations with sadness and outrage. For some, this story is all too familiar and personal.
I think my first reaction was, oh my God, this is what my mother went through.
This is Connie Reitman. She lives in Sacramento. She grew up on Pomo Indian settlements in a rural part of California. The story she's talking about, the story of her mother, has been passed down the generations. She shared it with KQED's Vanessa Roncagno.
Connie Reitman didn't hear this story all at once. Her mother doled out details gingerly as Connie was growing up, weighing how much her children were ready for. It took years to tell them.
And all of us would lay in the bed and she would be sewing and she'd tell us about things that happened to her in the boarding school.
A boarding school for American Indian kids set up by the federal government in the late 1800s.
I think at first it was more about the things that she enjoyed about it.
She talked about learning to sew and cook at the school. As Connie got older, the story got darker.
I was probably about 11 or 12. And I think that's the first time we heard the part about when she was taken from the family.
One day in the mid-1920s, when Connie's mother was about 5 years old,
there was a knock on the door, and it was a federal official that said that my mother had to go to school.
Until the mid-1930s, it was federal policy to assimilate Native Americans by eradicating tribal culture through a boarding school system. There were 25 of these schools in the U.S., including three in California. Federal officials forced parents to release a certain number of children from each reservation. Connie's family has never known why her mother was taken while other kids weren't.
Not very much was able to be said or done. She was just taken.
Taken from her home more than 200 miles away to Stewart Indian School in Nevada.
So my grandmother and my grandfather didn't know where my mom was, and they didn't really know how to get a hold of her.
Tens of thousands of kids were put in boarding schools, where government reports described hunger, overcrowding, disease, and hard labor.
As we got older, she related, you know, how at the school, her hair was cut. She was not allowed to talk her language. There was a lot of abuse and hunger, and all she could think of was to get home. For the most part, we didn't hear those parts till we got a little older. And I think that she felt we could bear it.
Connie's mother contracted tuberculosis and was sent to a hospital in San Francisco. After 2 years of treatment, she was allowed to go home. She was 14.
When my mother came home, she was not really accepted, ever really accepted back into the tribal community because she'd been gone.
For so long. She'd been away about 9 years. The trauma of these experiences shaped her life. But it also shaped Connie's. That's why seeing children separated from their parents today feels so personal to Connie. It's why American Indian leaders around the country have come forward to condemn the actions.
It's a good opportunity for America to be able to relate to what happened to us as tribal people.
Connie Reitman's almost 70. Her mother passed away more than 20 years ago. She's dedicated her life to working with tribal communities around this legacy of trauma. She says we can't heal if we don't remember our history.
We don't want this to keep happening to families, to children, because we've been there, done that, and we know what it's like. These wounds are generational, multi-generational. That's why we have to tell the story.
For The World, Vanessa Roncagno, San Francisco.